Well, we're talking about building a strong marriage. If you have a bulletin, you have a place to take some notes today. Today is actually a really good day to have your bulletin because we have a chart that you can take home and look over later as we get into it. We talked about a marriage. The picture of building a strong marriage is kind of like building a house. You have your foundation, which we have in purple on the board. You have your next level, and then we just kind of throw a little roof on top of it. And let's talk about what that means. Here's your blanks. The bottom level is Christ. We talked about this last week. Jesus Christ needs to be the foundation of your marriage. If you missed that message, you can actually download it off of our website. It's usually $19.95, but for you, because I love you so much, it's absolutely free. You can go there and download that and listen to that, burn it on a CD, put it on your iPod, whatever you want to do. If you missed it, it'll be there. The next level is what we're dealing with today, and that's communication. Communication. See, if Christ is your foundation, then if you're able to communicate, you're going to have a much stronger marriage. Christ needs to be your foundation. Then communication. Then conflict resolution. We're going to look next week about how to resolve some conflicts. After that is really everything else. If you have Christ as your foundation, He's changing you. He's giving you a new heart. He's helping you to love others and to forgive your spouse. That's all because Jesus is in you, right? That's why Christ needs to be the foundation. You're filled with the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. They're all in you because Jesus is your foundation. And then when you are able to communicate with your spouse, that solves a lot of problems when you're speaking the same language. The third step next week will be how to deal with problems, because inevitably we have conflict that comes up in our marriages. A pastor who I know, Mark Driscoll, he says when he marries people, he has the couple standing and facing each other. And the bride is beautiful, dressed in white, and the man looks as good as he's ever looked in his life, and a nice tuxedo, and they just look amazing. And he says the only thing that can come between these couples, between their happiness and marriage, is them. Because it's sin. Because they're both sinners, saved by grace, but things are going to come up just because we're fallen people. You know, within my own marriage, we have conflict. Not all the time, because we love Jesus, and I'm trying to learn how to communicate with my wife better. But there's going to be time to times where you have conflict, and you need to learn to deal with that as well. And if you know in your marriage, I say that to say, if you sit back and say, well, we fight a lot. Well, that's everybody has conflict. And we're going to work on trying to deal with that next week. Today is communication. Everything else, if you get these three, you'll be fine with everything else. Today, we're going to, the message is going to be a little bit different. I'm actually going to share some thoughts from Gary Chapman on the five love languages. I think this is just fantastic stuff. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, it tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives are to respect their husbands, it says a few verses earlier. In Scripture, it tells us that as husbands and wives, how we're supposed to deal with each other. And we're supposed to love each other and serve each other. And 1 Peter 3:7 has this thought, particularly towards the men in thinking about their wives. But listen to this. Husbands, give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Treat your wife with understanding. Question. Do men understand women? No. Scripture tells us that we're to treat them with understanding, and sometimes it's hard to understand. Well, today what I want to do is share with you some great communication tips from Gary Chapman that I think can help you perhaps to understand your spouse. Because if you don't know, men and women are different. Right? We're different. If you believe the lies on TV that say we're all the same, it's bogus. It's just ridiculous. There was an exhibit at Franklin Institute a couple years ago when myself and Pastor Bob and my wife went there, and they had a whole wing dedicated to the fact that boys and girls are the same. They did. It was just bizarre. And they said the only differences between boys and girls are what we tell them. And they would take little boys, and they said little boys like pink and little girls like blue, and the only reason they don't like them is because we try to give them roles. Not true. We're walking through this exhibit, my wife and I, and we know from our daughter, she's a girl. Okay? She's a girl. I grew up with no sisters. All boys. Okay? So when she was born, my dad, like, she could get dolls and stuff too, but my daughter had a healthy pile of trucks. Because my dad's a truck driver. We played with trucks when we were kids. Growing up, what do you get your first grandchild? My dad thought for sure his first grandchild was going to be a boy, because within my grandpa's generation, we went 5 generations without a girl. All boys, 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 boys. We went to the ultrasound, see what we were having. Said, girl. Really? Yeah. I called my dad, and my dad said, how did that happen? Girl. Now, I love my daughter, absolutely love her, but you know, she's a little princess, too. I mean, she's a girly girl. She wants to wear skirts to school. I'm like, skirts? Honey, your jeans are clean. She wants to wear the pretty dress. She plays teacups. She can have a truck and teacups. She goes for the teacups. Why? Because God made her as a girl. She's a girl. She loves being a girl, and I, to be honest, to clarify, I love the fact that she's a girl. Because I think if we had a little boy, I might have ended up being very hard on him, perhaps. And as a girl, she just broke me. And we just have a great relationship, and I think I'm learning how to be a dad. Probably more because we have a daughter. But it's amazing how different she is from boys. And she's tough, though. She's not a whiny little girl. She's big. She'll play soccer, kick boys. Boys fall down. She gets back up and keeps running. So my daughter's tough, but she's a girl. And God made her as a girl. I think we do a disservice when we pretend that men and women are the same. We're not the same. The Bible doesn't treat us the same. And in saying all that, we need to communicate with each other better. The Bible says, husbands, understand your wives. Well, let's get into this and talk about how we can understand them. And wives, conversely, understand your husbands. Do any wives understand their husbands? Anybody? I don't know. I don't know if that's hard or not. But I know women, I don't have that down yet, right? Yeah, you got women down? Oh, you don't have women down. Okay. Well, communication is a real big deal. In preparing this a few weeks ago, I was looking up reasons for divorce because we want to help our people be strong and not get divorced. Okay? By the way, in your marriage, don't use the D word. It's not a good word to use. But here's the top reasons for divorce. Number one, money. This is from the Associated Press. This is completely secular. But they say money is the number one reason for divorce. Another one, infidelity. And on their list, as the top reasons, poor communication. Poor communication. And as I said, I think if we can fix conflict, if we're communicating, and if Jesus is bringing us back to repentance, we can get through anything. But one of the top reasons is communication for divorce, and we want to move on through that. What's the most important yet confusing word in the English language? Love. Right? Can somebody use love in a sentence for me? Anybody? Anybody know English who's able to help us out with that today? Brian?
I love my wife.
You love my wife. That's a good one. Awesome. Especially being she's right there. How about somebody else can use love in a sentence, but not in regards to I love my wife? Just a different way to just use the word love.
I love to go fishing.
I love to go fishing. Awesome. Anybody else use the word love in a different way? And love conquers all. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Donna?
I love the Eagles.
I love the Eagles. Okay. Well, that's an interesting love, too. A little bit of love-hate there. Anybody else use love in a sentence? Right? I love to eat, right? Absolutely. The word love is one of the most confusing words we have in the English language because it means everything. It could go from cheesesteak, I love cheesesteak, to I love my country, I love my football team when we're throwing jerseys in the trash when they lose. But we love them when they win, right? I love my country. You might die for your country, noble thing. You might die for your spouse, and you should. Somebody breaking, you know, in your house, you should go and protect your spouse. Who's going to die over a cheesesteak? Anybody? I love my cheesesteak. I'm not taking a bullet for a cheesesteak. So clearly the word love has different definitions. Gary Chapman's idea is, and I think it's a good one, is inside every person there is what he calls a love tank. Sounds corny, but go with it here. That we all have within us, if you picture a tank, that we can fill up with love. Okay? And the premise for his whole theory is that different people have different, what he calls, love languages. And some things can fill up your love tank, while other things can drain your love tank. And it varies by from person to person. So for some people, they would feel loved if you did one thing for them. For somebody else, they feel loved if you do something else. Like, for instance, for me, if you give me a cheesesteak, I feel loved, man. Especially if it's a good one, right? But there's certain things you can do. You have a love tank. Children and adults have that. We need to learn how to express love in a language the other person understands. If you want to break out your chart on the back of your bulletin, we're going to fill in these blanks. The first love language is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. This is where you take a... Where with some people, if you compliment them, that means the world to them. When you affirm your love, that means everything. That you're communicating love by giving praise. If the husband has this as a love language, if he takes out the trash and the wife says, "Thank you so much for taking out the trash. That means so much to me." Put it there and high five, that means the world to that man. If his love language is words of affirmation and you affirm him, you give him words that help build him up, it's going to fill his love tank like crazy. Another love language is quality time. You could put that on the blank's left-hand column on your bulletin. Quality time. For some people, their love language is not words. They don't need to hear how great they did something or how much you love them. For some people, their love tank is only filled if you spend quality time with them. Eye contact, undivided attention, right? That you cannot have your spouse texting while you're trying to share something. You need them to put that down. For other people, they might not mind it. But for you, if that's you, if quality time is your thing, you need to put the phone down and we need to look. Because what's happening is you might be saying the words, "Well, I love you, honey. You know I love you." And if their love language is quality time, they don't feel loved. They feel ignored. And you're draining their love language. And we're talking about communication. You think you're communicating love when you say, "I love you." And in their minds, they're thinking, "Well, if you really loved me, you would give me a half hour of looking deep into my soul. Let's just turn the chairs towards each other. Sit and spend time together. Now, is quality time when you watch a quality movie? No, that's not quality time. Quality time is turn off the TV and it's you together and you actually spend time together. The third love language is receiving gifts. For some people, it's not so much saying I love you or saying good job doing this or that. And it's not so much quality time like I really need you constantly in my face. For some people, they don't need that. But what they would like to get is a gift from time to time. And we don't mean, you know, I don't mean expensive stuff. But for some people, flowers mean everything. Or if it's a man, maybe the wife will think of you and bring you a can of peanuts or whatever you like. Just a small thing to say, here, I thought of you today. For some people, that's what fills your love tank. It's a quality gift. The fourth love language is acts of service. If this is your love language, you really feel loved when somebody does something for you. If they do something for you, if they wash your car for you, or if your spouse wakes up earlier than you and puts the coffee on for you, so you wake up and it's ready, or they set the timer and do the coffee at night, or whatever it is, it's just, I served you in some way. If somebody needs a clothing article cleaned that wasn't cleaned before, and the spouse goes and takes that and just takes care of it and says, I did this for you. For some, they feel very loved when you do an act of service. The last love language is physical touch. For some people, the way their love tank is filled, it's not with words. It's not necessarily, I love you. Some people need to hear, I love you all the time. For some people, not so much, I love you. Not so much staring at me. Right? Not so much buying me a flower, but they'll say, I just want you from time to time to just hold my hand. Here, I'm not going to hold anybody else's hand, so let me hold yours. Okay, because she's married and I'm not holding Joe's hand. So, just as an illustration, because Joe will clock me and I wouldn't want to anyway, because we don't swing that way. But for some people, it's holding hands. It's when you're alone in the car and you're driving down the street and your spouse feels loved when you just reach over and hold their hand. Right? Or give a hug or something. Physical touch. Not just sexual, but yeah, that's a part of it, but also just a hug. Just you know, I love you, honey. And you give a hug, right? It's kind of weird doing this for everybody as an example. It's bizarre. Okay. But, right, for some people, that's your love language. So there are the five in that order going down your page. It says words of affirmation to communicate that. Use compliments, affirmation, kind words. Right? The opposite of words of affirmation would be calling somebody names or just being kind of cruel or demeaning. If that's your spouse's love language, is words of affirmation, and you use demeaning language to her, you're draining that tank quick because you're doing the exact opposite of how she feels loved, and you're destroying her. Or if that's your husband's and the wife is constantly nagging him and just being cruel and say, well, I don't know why you're so stupid, and comments like that. If that person's love language is words of affirmation, you're destroying them. And then you can wonder why you don't feel love in your marriage. But if you're using words like that and that's your love language, you're destroying it. Growing up, how many growing up you've heard talk between your parents that probably isn't the healthiest? Yeah? And sometimes we can just continue to do the things that we've seen that our parents did with us. And I want to encourage you to pause doing that and think about some of those things. And if you have a tendency to say the things your parents said, Maybe they never got a divorce. Maybe your parents' love language wasn't this one, and it wasn't as destructive. Maybe it was, and we just don't know the pain that they felt. I'd want to say, you know what? Jesus is changing our hearts. Let's slow down, and let's make sure the words we speak are good words. We don't want to spew poison upon the other person. If their love language is words of affirmation, that is more destructive than you could even know. Kind words, under communication, the second level of the chart, quality time. Again, one-to-one time, not interrupting each other. Face-to-face conversation, one-on-one. Receiving gifts, right? Positive gifts, acts of service, we talked about that. Taking care of things. Physical touch, talked about that as well. Hugs and kisses. Those things are on your list. It says what to avoid, again, under words of affirmation. Criticism. Avoid criticism. If your spouse's love language is quality time, avoid long periods of being apart. In some relationships, they can spend long times apart. Because maybe the people are different. They have a different love language. If your spouse's love language is quality time and your work takes you away, you might want to look for a different job, or you might want to find ways to stay in contact. In this day and age with technology and phones, you can find ways to stay in contact that might help in that. More times with friends than with a spouse. That was funny on that video, right, where it said, plan a getaway with your buddies. Yeah, not so much. Receiving gifts. If you forget special days, and your spouse's gifts, and if she wants a rose on her anniversary and you forget, you're in trouble with that one. Acts of service, if you ignore someone's requests while helping others, if your spouse sees you always helping somebody else, but you're not helping them, not good. Abuse or physical neglect would be physical touch, the opposite of that. Moving on, I'm going to bring this to a close here. He goes on and says, every one of us has a primary love language, but here's the problem. We tend to speak our own love language. Does anybody have an idea of what your love language is from that quick overview? Words of affirmation, quality time. Anybody who would like to share what you think your love language is? Nobody. Nobody. Yes. Quality time. Okay, for you, that's the big one. Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Desiree. Yeah, it's a great book. Acts of service. Okay. Awesome. So for you, that's the big one. Other stuff, it's okay. It's nice. Gifts are nice. But for you, acts of service is huge. Ruth Ann? Physical touch. Okay. Good. Quality time. Good. Anybody else? Awesome. See, here's the thing. And as Gary Chapman says, you need to understand what your love language is. That's important. But you need to know that what happens is when we meet our spouse, we treat our spouse the way that we would want to be treated. Okay? So if yours is quality time, that's how you feel loved, you want to give your spouse quality time. To show love to your spouse, to fill up their love tank, you want to say, let's sit in a circle and just look at each other. And your spouse's love language is, we can just hold hands and watch TV. I feel love like this. I don't want to just sit apart and just talk about the deep recesses of our soul. That's fine, but honey, can't you just give me a hug? Or, that's fine, but you know, if you just make my coffee, that would change the world, right? Or whatever that is. It's good to know, though, that you're different. That you're different. Now, thinking this through, who thinks that you have the same love language as your spouse? It's possible. Can I see your hand if you think you have the same? That you think you both need love, you feel loved, the same love language? Anybody? Who thinks it's different? That you're completely different? That you look and... Yeah. And in that, that's why communication is so important, because you can try to share love and your other spouse doesn't feel, your other spouse, your one spouse, the other person isn't feeling loved at all because you're communicating in your language, and in their language they feel unloved. And that's why a man can literally, you know, the stereotype is the man comes home and he cuts the grass and he changes the oil in the car and he's doing all these service things. And his wife will say, well, I just don't think we love each other anymore. And his response is, what do you mean we don't love each other? What do you mean you don't think I love you? What was I doing out there changing the ball joints on your car and changing the oil and cutting the grass? I was doing that to show I love you. Because for him, it's service. For her, she just wanted a note left every now and then. And that would have meant she's loved. So, and vice versa. So, wrapping this up, I want to encourage you to think through the love language things, which one you may have. And you may have received this, or you could take this as you go. This is from Gary Chapman from the Love Language Seminar we've showed here at the church before. This is a little test. It's an assessment to help you figure out your love language. Couples, I would encourage you to take this separately. Don't cheat. Okay? Because there's no prizes for point, you know. Don't cheat. But take this. There's instructions. And at the end, when you total it up, it'll tell you which category you seem to fall into. You might not realize it. You might think your category is acts of service. But you might take this test and find out, you know what? You like small gifts from time to time. And that actually is the thing for you. But even more important than just finding out what you are, let's use it to discover what our spouse is. So you can help show love to them. Ruthann. More than one language? Great question. Absolutely. For me, it's kind of a tie between two different ones. You can have a tie. It's probably not all of them. but you can have a tie between two. Maybe you have two primary ones. Maybe it's a combination, but you're going to have one or two that are stronger. Then everything else will be down a little bit. Other love languages that aren't on here, but it's funny. Sleep, I thought would be a great love language. If people let you sleep in, you feel loved. I thought that's good. Bake a good dinner. It's a good love language, right? You feel loved. But within the five, I think you'll find something where you are. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. Last thing I want to say about communication. Again, take this. There's extra copies on the table. You know, have fun with it, but I pray that it helps give you a little bit of insight. I would highly recommend his book. It's awesome. And if there's enough people interested, we can actually show the video seminar again. We actually have the stuff. It's very good. Gary Chapman's funny, and he presents it way better than I do. But when we've taken it, to me, it was an eye-opener, and it really helps me within my marriage, and to be honest with you, it's a blessing with my child as well. For those of you who are parents or even grandparents, it's good to think through your children. You might say, well, how come I can't get through to my kid, or why can't I get through my grandchild? Perhaps you're trying to show them love with the love language that you have, but for them, they don't have that love language, so they don't feel love. How often is it that perhaps the parent, and you've seen this stereotype, right? The parents will lavish gifts upon their children. The stereotypical rich parents giving all their children gifts, but their kids don't want the gifts. They just want their dad or mom to take a few moments to really understand who they are. And if you're a gift giver, this is a way to save money. You might not have to buy those gifts. If they're... That was a joke. But you could show love in a way that they would want to be loved. The Bible calls us to love one another. God made us all a little bit different. And it's good to try to understand who the other person is so you can love them. Last thought about communication, and we're going to pray. is this. When I do marriage counseling, premarital counseling rather, I hit on a lot of this stuff. One of the things that we hit on is called being assertive. It's assertiveness. And here's the fault with being assertive. It means that when you speak to your spouse, you tell them what you really mean. It's amazing, right? So I'll say it again. So when you speak to your spouse, you tell them what you really mean. Because women, I'll speak on behalf of the men, we're dense. We're dense, right? I'm dense, at least. You just got to be clear. If we're driving down the street looking for a restaurant, and if you really want to go to restaurant A, just say it. Don't say, yeah, how about... Or we'll say, you want to go to restaurant B? Yeah, that's fine. When what you really mean is, I don't want restaurant B. You know that gives me the hives. And as men, I would like to say, just please say, I prefer restaurant A, honey. Right? If there's a preference, you know, there, yeah. How about, would you like to go to vacation to Alaska? Sure, if you'd like to, that's fine with me. When the answer really is, I would never want to set foot in Alaska. What's wrong with you, bonehead? Let's go to the Caribbean. Right? So in the area of communication, I think I'd like to say, let's just be assertive, meaning let's just be clear. And let's let the other person know. That's not being mean, but let's just be clear. Because as guys, I think, at least myself, number one, dense. Because I'm hearing the words. And you say, sure, honey, this is fine, when it's really not. I don't know. I just thought you thought it was fine. You think, well, you should know me better. I'm dense. It's styrofoam up here. It's not real good. I'm just taking the words. You know? Give your spouse the benefit of the doubt. Just say what you mean. Mean what you say. If you really don't care, say, honey, I really don't care. Don't say, I really don't care. When you care, you big time care. Doesn't matter to me. When you know it matters to you. Right? Right? And I think when we do that, when we're just honest, and when we learn that our spouse is different than us, and we try to treat them not just how I want to be treated, but how they're built. So I can show my love to my spouse. You can show your love to your spouse. And even to your children. You can show your love to your children. I think we'll be better off. And I think we'll have strong marriages. And I think we'll have strong families. So, to that, I want to pray for you as we get ready to go and close this time out. If you're new here today and visiting, this is a whole lot different than how I normally preach. We read a whole lot of Scripture and get into the Word. But today I wanted to just share some different thoughts that I thought would be a great help to you in the area of communication. I would recommend his book. If you're serious and would like to see the video curriculum stuff, it's two sessions. It's like an hour each session. It's awesome. If nobody else wants to do it but you, I'll give you the disc and you can take it home and watch it. And it'll be good. If you want to read the whole book, you can do that as well. But I just pray it'll be a blessing to you. And in all honesty, I want to help your marriage. I've been praying for a while over what the Lord would have me to share on throughout this year. We've been praying deeply about the messages. And God has put it on my heart that He wants our church to grow deeper in Him. That He wants us to be disciples of Him. That we learn how to read the Word. We learn how to pray. We learn how to fast. We learn how to seek Him. But also our marriages are under attack. A lot of us, we're having trouble communicating. And I hope this series will be a blessing to you. But if you make Christ foundational, you're going to be a whole lot better off. Do that. Learn to communicate. And next week we'll give rules on fighting, how to fight nice. No. Conflict resolution. Let's go ahead and pray. If you need special prayer, please hang around after service and we'll pray for you. Jesus, I love you today, God. Lord, I thank you for the gift of marriage. Lord, that when you looked at Adam, you said it wasn't good for man to be alone. I thank you, Lord, for my wife, who's my best friend, God. I thank you for our friendship throughout the years, and I pray that you would help us to continue to have a strong marriage, even though we're not perfect, to help us, Lord, to bless us. And I pray for the other marriages in our church as well, that you would bless them, God, that they would be strong, that as the devil would want to bring destruction, I pray that you would protect in Christ's name. Where there's hard feelings between couples, I pray that they would have the mind of Christ and forgive each other as you would forgive. Where there's communication issues, I pray that they would take a few moments to think about how they communicate so they would learn to show love for each other better. And it would be clear in what they articulate. For those, Lord, here who aren't married, for the younger people, Lord, or those who are, they just haven't gotten married yet or whatever, I just pray that you would bless them as well. Lord, that if it's your will for them to get married, I pray that the perfect person would come and they would have a godly marriage, just the way that you would have it to be. And for those, Lord, who perhaps your perfect will isn't for them to be married and your will for them is to have the gift of singleness, I pray that they would take that gift and they would use it for your glory and they would be an encouragement to others. Just be with us, Lord, we pray. Bless our church. In Jesus' name. Amen.